there for 6 years with my wife and two kids. But like Mark said, my life wasn't always running so smoothly. So I'm from a family where I'm the youngest of seven kids. So my mum had a right handful. There are three of us boys and three girls. Yeah, and the girls were fine, and the boys weren't so fine in my family. So I'm the youngest. My middle brother, he's 17 years older than me, and his name's John. And kind of what happened from an early age is my brother, I didn't know at the time, was addicted to heroin. And from the age of about 5 years old, I'd get shipped off to my brother's flat because my dad was working overseas and my mum was working 2-3 jobs at sometimes just to keep food on the table. And my brother would take me out with him. He'd need to fund his habit one way or another. So from a really early age, I remember getting put through windows to get doors open into houses so that he could basically loot the place and feed his heroin habit. So I didn't have the best start in life, but I wasn't using or anything at that age. That came in at the age of 8 years old when I first tried cannabis. And I waited out when I first smoked a joint. And when I came round from that, my first thing was to ask, have you got any more? Yeah, it was like I'd been bullied at school. I wasn't really going to school so regularly. We weren't kind of like the fitting family. We were the family in your estate that had the police paddy wagon parked at the end of the street for, mainly for my brother's behaviour. And so it kind of got us victimised and got me a lot of grief at school. So I'd kind of stopped going regularly. And that was like a relief for me. And I'm not going to spend too long on what happened next, but basically I went through the ages of 8 to 16 just tearing the backside out of every substance that gave me an escape from reality, to the point where I ended up 5.5 stone in weight, absolutely hopelessly addicted to crack cocaine, and I couldn't stop. And I thought I was all right, but this one day I'd taken some stuff to sell for some dealers and I smoked it, which was a pretty dumb move, as most of you in here will know. So I got a bit of a hiding for that and ended up in an induced coma in Bristol Royal Infirmary because I'd broken like most of my ribs and slammed my head in a phone box and all sorts of stuff that I've watched back on CCTV to try and see like the help the police and all of that. But when I came round in hospital, I asked for a phone. They gave me a phone. I said I was calling my mum. I'd not seen my mum in 3 years. And I discharged myself from hospital against medical advice, basically to go and use. And that was like what my existence was. And we've just sung that song, haven't we? And it says like, we're in darkness, we're in death. And it's like I've walked out of that grave. Because what happened next was I saw my mum on a train station platform while I was begging. And she didn't even recognise me. And my sister who was with her said, Mum, I think that's Luke. And I've never, you know, we just sung about the shame that you can have. Well, I had all this shame in my life because of the way I was living and the things that I was doing to feed this habit. And I was like, I've got to stop. So I tried to stop using and I lasted 4 hours. 4 hours. That's all I had in my own strength to not use drugs. And I kept trying and eventually I was walking down the street, absolutely psychotic, with vomit down my front, and I think I had a bit of diarrhea down the back, so it was a really pretty sight. And I walked past this church, and this guy walked down the steps to this church in Bristol, and he lit a cigarette outside, and I thought, what a hypocrite. Can I have one of those cigarettes? And he gave me one, and I don't know why, but I just said, look, my name's Luke, and I'm addicted to crack, and I need help. And this guy laughed at me. And he walked back up the stairs to this church and he turned around at the door and he said, are you coming in then? I was like, no one laughs at me. I had my hand on my flick knife in my pocket as I walked into this church. Because I was going in, the only reason you'd have ever got me into a church was to do something bad to someone. And I walked into this church with that intention in my heart. And when I got in, I couldn't see him. And all these old women, God bless old women in church, right? Because they surrounded me with tea and biscuits, right? It was fantastic. Yeah, so I'd cup of tea and some biscuits, and all the time I'm looking around this church for this person. I couldn't see him. Then he walked out onto the stage, right? And I'm like, I'll have to wait. Yes, common sense, isn't it? I'll have to wait because I can't do it now because everyone will see. So I'm waiting to basically stab this guy when he comes down off the stage. And then he started to talk. He started to share his testimony like I'm doing with you now. And he told me my story. He was a recovered heroin addict. He was 2 years clean. And he was spouting on about the fact that Jesus had saved him from his addiction. And I thought, that don't make much sense to me, but I need your help. So I went up to him afterwards, because then he got a bath on the stage, which I thought was really weird, in all his clothes, which I now know was like baptism, yeah? But I said to him afterwards, look, I came in this church to stab you, and people were like laughing, like they didn't believe me. So I handed him the knife, and then they were backed away. This guy moved me into his parents' house, and they put me in an airing cupboard that had been converted for him and his brother to do their cold turkey detoxes. And all I remember about that detox that I did was 3 times a day I'd be brought a meal, and in and out of like where I was, they'd be coming in and praying for me. And I was like, this is really odd. And then I got out of the airing cupboard after I'd finished like all the physical side of my withdrawal, and they said, you can't leave the house. Because if you leave our house, we know that you're going to find a way to use drugs. I was like, man, these people have got me taped. They know that I'm just like, in my head, I was off and running already. I was just white knuckling it. I was clean, but I was still dying inside. I needed something. And to cut a long story short, 6 months went past like that. I was going to Cocaine Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous. I was working through this 12 steps. I couldn't get the idea or the concept of a higher power or God or how that was going to help or benefit or edify my life in any way, shape or form. And I got 6 months down the line, this guy said to me, if you don't get Jesus, you're going to use drugs. And I said, I know. And he said to me, how does that make you feel? I said, I'm absolutely terrified. And he said, oh, what is it? You can't just accept that you don't get nailed to a bit of wood, killed, stuck in a grave, and then walk back out of it 3 days later. It doesn't happen. I can't get my head around it. Anyway, he got me to read the book of Romans and prove it wrong, and I couldn't. Book of Romans is a book in the Bible, and I got to this bit where it says, why do I do the things I do not want to do? There are things that I see that are good and right, but instead I do the things I hate. And I thought, have you stuck this page in? Because you've just described my addiction in a nutshell. Anyway, it completely got me. I read on and it says, it's talked about the love of God. And I was like, God, I don't have you worked out, but if you take away my obsession in my mind to use drugs or my craving, I'll fight the other, I won't use, and I'll follow you the rest of my life. Okay? Nothing happened. I felt like I'd prayed to a brick wall and I felt really daft, okay? But what happened next was I woke up the next morning and I walked through this park and I thought, if I don't feel better by lunchtime, I'm off to go and use. And I didn't feel better at lunchtime, so I went off to go and use. And I walked across this park, and it was like I walked out of a black and white movie into full colour. I started to notice birds singing in trees, children playing with their parents. I started to notice life. And I realised the thing that was wrong with me is that all the like psychotic voices that were in my head had gone, and I felt well for the first time in my life. And my life from there has just gone on and on. I've not looked back because God has sustained me and He's given me something that NACA, all these things that were good, they're good, but without the substance of Jesus, it didn't do nothing for me. It didn't complete me, and I needed completing. I needed peace of mind, and that's what God gave me, and I'll leave it there.